How we doing? Good to see you today. Happy New Year. I'll just warn you that first service was a little rough on the throat. So it's January and somehow I can feel that. And so just to put that out there for you. Today's the first Sunday of the year that many will either have, will, or will not make some New Year's resolutions. Now, and whether you choose to make them or not, one thing we all should be evaluating as we start a new year is our Bible reading. How are you doing with your reading and learning of God's Word? We're 4 days in. I'm doing pretty good. How about you? 4 days and I'm right on track. Reading your Bible should not be a New Year's resolution to keep or break, but rather it should become just a daily discipline and a lifelong practice. And the new year is a good time just to stop and to think and to reevaluate and just to see how you're doing in this area. And so this morning I just want to share with you five good reasons why we should read God's Word over this next year. If you have your note sheets there, you can take those out and follow along with me. The first one is that it will teach you God's ways. The Bible tells us that all of God's ways are good and right. Proverbs 3:13 says, "Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding." And then if you drop down to verse 17, not in your notes, just listen to this. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. And so God's ways are good. They are ways of wisdom. God's ways are not only good and pleasant, but they're also right. Revelation 15:3 says, "And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and amazing are your deeds, O Lord God the Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the nations." And so God is perfect in all he does. And so his ways are good and perfect and true as well. So not only are his ways true and right, but God commands us to walk in his ways. Deuteronomy 10:12, "And now Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." So what does God require of you? That you serve him, that you love him, that you respect him, and that you walk in all of his ways. But here's the problem. The problem is that we naturally don't know or follow God's ways. God told us in Isaiah 58:8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." See, on our own, we do not understand, we do not know God's ways. The good news is that God doesn't leave us wandering out in the dark on this, but rather he offers to teach us his way. Psalms 25:8-10, "Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right, and he teaches the humble his ways. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast, love, faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies." And so God knew, right? He knew that we could not follow or know his ways on our own. And so he promises to teach us. Well, how does he do that? Well, God teaches us his ways through his word. Not in your notes, but Psalms 1:1-2 says this, "Blessed is man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight's in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates," what does it say? "Day and night." Right? This is how we learn the ways of God, by reading the word, by meditating on God's law. You cannot know God apart from His Word. It would be like trying to get to know your neighbors without ever talking to them, right? Like I see my neighbors on my street, and I can tell you the ones that I know, and I know them. Why? Because we've had conversation, right? We've interacted. We've engaged with one another, right? Easier to do in the summertime than the wintertime, because, you know, in the wintertime, what we do is beep, you know, go in, beep, and into our house we go, right? I mean, that's how that works. We have to read God's Word to know His ways. You got to love Proverbs 8, speaking of the wisdom found in the Word, verse 32 to 35. And now, O sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise. Do not neglect it. But blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors, for whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. God will teach us what we need as we read His Word. And what a great image this is of waiting daily and watching attentively. And God will speak to you through His Word. That's the first reason that we should read the Word this year. Secondly, it'll guide you in God's path. Isaiah 2:3 says, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that He may teach us His ways, and that we may walk in His paths. So two concepts here that are connected, right? The whole reason God wants us to teach us His ways is so that we can walk in His what? Path. You know, one of the most frustrating things that I found as a parent, especially as your kids get older, is when they ask you for advice and you give it to them and then they do something else, right? Or maybe it's like you're going on a trip and you have a map or you have a GPS that you're going to follow and you want to get to this destination, and then you get going and then you don't use it and you wonder why you didn't get where you wanted to go. God's Word will not only teach you God's ways, it will guide you in God's paths. But you got to read it. That's the thing. So how does the Word do that? Well, it does it in three ways. It shows you the right place to go. It shows you the best way to get there. And then thirdly, it helps you to walk closely with God. Right? And so I'm going to unpack those three things here for a moment. First of all, God's Word shows you the right place to go. When you open up a map, like on your phone or whatever, there are thousands of possible destinations. Can I submit to you this morning that in your life, there are thousands of possible destinations? So where are you headed in life? Are you on the right road? How do you know? Some people might say it doesn't matter what road you're on. The thing is, the Bible says in Proverbs 16:25, that there's a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way to death. Now, not all roads lead to good places. And even if you're heading down the right destination right now in your life, you should at least stop and ask the question. It's exactly what God tells us to do in Jeremiah 6:16. Stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it and find rest for your soul. Jesus said in John 14, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Right? There's your answer. Jesus is the way. When we need to follow Jesus, we need to trust in Jesus. We need to submit to Jesus as Lord and Savior of our lives. And maybe you're here today, and maybe you're at a crossroads this morning, and you're wondering, like, which way should I go? Can I submit to you this morning that you should look to Jesus on at the cross? Look to Jesus who died for you so that God could give you life. That's the good way. Walk in it, and you will find what? Rest for your soul. And it's not only showing you the right way, but it also shows us the best way to get there. Psalm 119, you know this verse probably. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God said this in Isaiah 48:17. I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit and who leads you in the way that you should go. The NIV puts it this way, who teaches what is best for you. As we seek God in his word, instead of leaning on our own understanding, as Proverbs 3 tells us, God will light the path ahead of you, and he will make your paths straight. God's word also helps us to walk closely with God. When we look for guidance through his word, you know, not only do you get the best guidebook, you get the best guide. Look at Psalm 32:8. I will instruct you and I will teach you in the way that you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you, God says. So God himself guides us through his word. God himself counsels us through his Holy Spirit. Jesus is the good shepherd who guides and takes care of his sheep, Psalms 23 says. All right, the third reason that we should read the word this year is that it will straighten you for your, or it, I'll try that again, it will strengthen you for your task. God created you for good works. You're not saved by good works, you're saved through faith in Jesus, but once you come to Christ, God has some good things for you to do. He has some good works for you. And all we do, we should do for the glory of God. So if you're here today and you're a student, you should study for the glory of God. If you're a parent, you should parent to God's glory. If you work, you should work to God's glory. If you serve in the church, you should serve for the glory of God. So how do you have the strength to do that? Well, reading God's word will strengthen you for the task in a couple of different ways. First of all, the Bible tells us that God's word equips us for every good work. 2 Timothy 3:16-17, all scripture is breathed out by God. It's profitable for teaching and reproof and for correction and for training in righteousness, and the man of God may be complete. So he's equipped for what? Every good work. So how does God equip us? Through the scriptures. All scripture comes from God, so that you may be fully equipped for anything that God calls you to do. King David talks about this in Psalm 18. He says God's way is perfect and it's flawless. It's a shield. God is our rock. He goes on to say how God helps him to stand and he trains his hands for battle. It is God who gives the victory is how David viewed the task that God would give to him. Yeah, God's word is what gives us strength for our task by nourishing us. God's word is often compared to food in scripture. It nourishes us spiritually, just like food nourishes us physically. And when Jesus fasted in the desert, Satan came to him telling him to turn the stones into bread. And Jesus answered him by saying this, Matthew 4:4, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from what? The mouth of God. So one of the things about food is last week's food doesn't help you much this week, does it? Right? Food is something that you need to partake on often to nourish your body. Same way with the Word of God. Job said in chapter 23 that he's followed the commands and he loved the Word more than daily food. If you want to sustain yourself spiritually, we got to feed on the Word of God. The Word strengthens us for our task by giving us wisdom as well. Proverbs 24:3-6 puts it this way, by wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is full of strength. A man of knowledge enhances his might. For by wise guidance you can wage your war. And in abundance of counselors there is what? Victory. The Bible has so much to offer by way of practical wisdom that to help us to make wise and right decisions in all the areas of our life. That's why God told Joshua to meditate on the word, what? Day and night, and then do it. And when you can do that, then you find success. And you and I are always better off when we do things God's way and not our own way. All right, the fourth reason to read the word is it'll comfort you in your disappointments. I don't know what this next year holds for you. I pray it'll be a great year. But if we're like most people, and next year is like most years, you and I, we're most likely going to experience a mixture of both good stuff and bad stuff. The question is how will you handle the rough times? Reading the word will comfort you in a few ways. Romans 15:4 says, "For whatever was written in the former days was written for our instruction, and through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope." Did you catch that? Scriptures were written not only to teach us about God, but also for our encouragement and for our hope. When you read your Bible, you are reading about real people and real experiences. And the God who was there then is the same yesterday, today, tomorrow, and forever. And so when you read about the Israelites and how God delivered them from Egypt, you're not just reading about history, you're reading about the same God who delivers you today. When you read about God hearing Hannah as she poured her heart out in prayer, you're not just reading about somebody else's heartache, you are reading about the same God who hears your prayers today. And when you read about David having victory over Goliath, you're not just reading about a battle in some distant past. He is the same God who gives you strength to fight your battles and to do your task today. Everything written in the past in the Bible was written to teach us so that through endurance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have what? Hope. We might have hope. Reading God's word will comfort us in our sadness because the gospel is good news for the poor and the brokenhearted. Jesus preached his first message in a synagogue from the passage in Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3. It says this, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to build up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes and the oil of gladness instead of mourning and the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit or a spirit of despair, that they may be called oaks of righteousness and the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." And Jesus read the passage, and he gave some application. You know what the application was? We find it in Luke 4, verse 21. "Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Christ has come and brought us salvation." It's good news. He has come to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, to comfort all who mourn. The gospel is good news that will bring you comfort in the tough times. And finally, reading God's word will comfort you in times of sorrow because God's promises persevere your life. Listen to these verses from Psalm 119, verse 28. "My soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word." Verses 49, 52. "Remember your word to your servant in which you have made me hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your promises give me life, that they are insolent, utterly deride me. But I do not turn away from your law. When I think of your rules of old, I take comfort, O Lord. The psalmist was suffering. He was so tired of sorrow. But then he remembered God's word and God's law, and he found what? Comfort. Why? Because God's promises came into his life. And when you read the Bible, you will find many great promises of God that will give you comfort and will strengthen you during hard times. God has never broken a promise, and he never will. All right, last reason to read God's word this year, protect you from harm. There are good paths in life, and there are bad paths in life. The Bible is written not only to show you the right way, but also to keep you from going down the wrong path. God's word guards us against going in the wrong direction. Psalm 2 talks about how the Lord gives wisdom and knowledge and understanding, right? And how God will protect us. I mean, think about that for a second. How many bad decisions have I made in my life? A lot. And then I think this. I go, oh, God protected me right there. Oh, wait a second. God protected me right there. He protected me over here. I can think of time and time again where I could see God's protection. Reading the word helps us to fight temptation as well. Psalm 119:9, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. Drop down to verse 11, I've stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Paul encouraged Christians to put on the full armor of God. Right? Ephesians 6:17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. See, the Bible is our offensive weapon against the attack of the enemy. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, how did he fight back? He used the sword of the Spirit, right? He quoted Scripture again and again and again. And finally, reading the Word will protect you from harm because God sanctifies you by the truth of his Word. When Jesus prayed for the disciples before going to the cross, among other things, he prayed for their protection in John 17, 15 through 17, I do not ask you to take them out of this world, but that you will keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. So if you're here today and you're a Christ follower, you are no longer of this world. Like, we don't belong here. And yet Jesus' prayer was not that God would take us out of the world, but rather he would what? Protect us while we're in it. And so how does that work? What does that look like? Well, it's through the word of God. God sanctifies you or sets you apart from the world and all the evil stuff by the truth that's in his word. And nothing can truly harm you when you're following the word of God. Even if you were to lose your life, you would still have victory in God's presence in heaven. So why should we read God's word this year? It'll teach you God's ways. It'll guide you in his paths. It'll strengthen you. It'll comfort you in difficult times. It'll protect you from harm. And really, when you think about it, I'm like, I can't afford not to read the word of God. And I know many of you have already developed your daily reading program, and you have a plan that works for you, and that's awesome. Just keep on doing that. But for some of you, this might be a growth area. And so I want to challenge you this morning just to find a reading plan that you will do. And I can tell you this, you know what the best reading plan is? The one you're going to do. Right? So even if you spend just 10, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever it is, in the Word this next year, reading it, it'll make a huge impact in 2026. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your Word today. So as we step into whatever this next year brings, God, I ask that you would be our guide. God, I ask that you would protect us. God, would you deepen our faith and strengthen us to do your will? God, God, would you open our eyes that we might serve those who have a need? May we walk in your path. And God, may we find comfort in your unchanging word. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.